You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Productions, its ownership, management, or staff.
This is Fight Back, 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 Back with Dr. Bob Fitrakis, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. I'm Bob Fitrakis. Fight Back, 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 Fight Back, Back, Back. Don't give up the fight. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Dr. Bob Fitrakis, and you're listening to Fight Back. This is radio the way it should be heard. And hopefully we have someone on the line that also should be heard. I'm hoping that the legendary Harvey Wasserman. Harvey, I wanted you on today in particular. Just prior to my show, though, we were listening to Greg Palast's account of the U.S.-backed coup against the recently deceased Hugo Chavez, and that proved to be interesting. But we've got another anniversary today, and that is the start of the attack on Iraq. You and I wrote a couple books of essays for the Free Press, Columbus Institute of Contemporary Journalism. One was called "George W. Bush versus the Superpower of Peace," primarily done prior to the attack. And then after the attack, we did one called "In Prison Bush," essentially the case on why Bush must be arrested, indicted, and in prison for waging aggressive illegal war under customary international law. So, yep. What do you think? 10 years after the fact, there's a new report out. Brown University, the Watson School for International Relations, has concluded that as a direct result of the war, 275,000 to 329,000 Iraqis are dead. The war cost at least $2 trillion, probably the overall cost of the war, closer to $6 trillion. Other factors, they concluded that, number one, the war unleashed militant Islamic sentiment in Iraq and the Middle East, set back the rights of women, and that the so-called nation-building reconstruction in Iraq, basically all the money went to security, waste, or fraud. So why isn't there more attention being paid to this travesty that has destroyed our economy?
Well, we know, Bob, that the real winners in the Iraq war were all the flower shops in Baghdad when people went and bought rose petals to throw at the feet of the troops who arrived, as Dick Cheney predicted they would. You remember that?
Sweets and flowers, right? That's what Chalabi and his relative Curveball, who was drunk all the time, who later turned out to be Iranian paid agents, said that we would be greeted with sweets and flowers.
Right. So there's no doubt that, you know, if you look at the history of American wars since World War II, every one of them has been an utter catastrophe. The Korean War, which started at the 48th parallel and ended at the 48th parallel, cost over 50,000 American lives. God knows how many Korean and Chinese lives, accomplished absolutely nothing. The Vietnam War, which was escalated in 1965 and ended in American defeat in 1975, a total unmitigated catastrophe, single-handedly responsible, I think, for the gigantic rise in college tuitions and the decimation of the American healthcare system, among other things. Then you have the Contra War, in Central America, complete waste, decimation of Nicaragua, El Salvador, And, you know, the introduction of gargantuan quantities of crack cocaine into the United States, followed by the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, Desert Storm, one of the biggest sources of air pollution in the history of the human race, if not the biggest single source, when Saddam Hussein set fire to the wells in Kuwait, followed, of course, by this ridiculous, meaningless, worthless intervention in Iraq, and now, of course, Afghanistan, bankrupting the American economy, both socially and economically. You know, the question is, when will it end? Can we prevent the next insane war from happening?
Well, why couldn't we prevent this one, Harvey? You're a historian. You've written books on this, The Cycles of American History. You dealt with in one, your own history of the United States. How do you get the wrong country? I saw Green Days here in Columbus. At least they're going to have a Broadway play, American Idiot. How can something so ignorant as this policy towards Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11, how can these policies continue to occur over and over again in modern American history?
Well, because it's a classic case of the end of an empire. The United States had its day as a democracy, or the as good a democracy would get, really, in the world, in its early incarnation. For all its flaws, you have to say that the Constitution of the United States had its good points, and especially, of course, the Bill of Rights, and especially, of course, the First Amendment, which I think is the United States is the American people's great gift to humankind. But like Greece, like Rome, like the Brits, like the ancient Persians, the United States got very powerful and had its peak, and now has been in decline, especially since the end of World War II, and is behaving with incredible arrogance and self-destructive foolishness, the way all other empires have behaved. And until we hit bottom, well, hopefully we're there now, it's only going to continue this. So the question now is, as the Afghan war winds down, which hopefully it is, we don't have another war going on now, but we're certainly going to see the Charles Krauthammers and Dick Cheneys of the world stomping for another war somewhere as soon as possible. That's when the real test will come. We have to get the hell out of Afghanistan and prevent the next post-imperial war from taking place. And certainly this report on Iraq will be important for us to understand the imperative of avoiding the next war. I mean, you know, there's not a single shred of justification that can be put forth for the 10 years and more we spent in Vietnam. Nothing good came out of the Contra War. Nothing good came out of Iraq or Afghanistan. Hopefully we've got a body of evidence now that will convince the next generation that these wars cannot be engaged in and must be stopped.
I hope you're right there, Harvey, though, when reflecting on this. How much of this, and you're an energy guy, how much of this is the last violent throes of the fossil fuel industry, the oil wars, and also, you might want to update the listeners as well after you answer that question with, the other death energy culture around radioactivity and nuclear power. So is this the last throes of the fossil fuel industry? I mean, aren't these fundamentally, be it Afghanistan or Iraq, aren't these oil wars essentially?
You make a good point, Bob. I think they're two-dimensional at least. There's definitely an energy dimension to these wars, definitely a commitment on the part of the American power structure to corner as much of the petroleum reserves in the world as possible. Obviously, a big point at stake in the Iraq war, and obviously a tipping point is coming now with renewable energy. I mean, you know, we've been treated as a marginal movement, those of us working for a solartopia, a green-powered Earth, but the reality is that the rapid advance of solar and wind technologies is really taking the sails out of a lot of these oil warriors and really obviating the idea that we need to go to war to conquer or to corner our fossil fuels. And that's why this whole anti-nuclear movement and pro-solartopia movement is really an anti-war movement, because once energy is distributed, you know, to communities and is essentially free, which we can make it, we do have the technology, another cause of war will be done away with. I mean, there is a dimension here. You can't really say the Vietnam War was an energy war. That was a war, an end of empire war. That was, you know, a country just behaving, as J. William Fulbright put it, purely with the arrogance of power. You know, we went into Vietnam because we thought we could, and Lyndon Johnson did not want to be the first Texan to lose a war. But so Nixon lost it, as it turned out. But nonetheless, now we, these last couple of wars, certainly in Iraq and Afghanistan, have been oil wars. And if we can get rid of this addiction to oil, and we are very close to doing it, renewable energy is definitely cheaper now than oil, even than coal, as General Electric has said, amazingly enough. Of course, General Electric is the number one producer of windmills in the United States now. But if we get that rid of that, that will reduce or get rid of a single one of the major motivations for these wars. And you mentioned nuclear. I got to tell you, the news is not good. I mean, in the last couple of days, we lost power at Fukushima. It's allegedly been restored, but losing power at Fukushima means they can no longer cool the spent fuel pools, which are incredibly dangerous there. And I got to tell you, Bob, we put a piece up on at freepress.org. The initial, we've now really received the first really concrete proof of a human death toll at Fukushima. The prefecture of Fukushima, you know, the state, the equivalent of this American state, has conducted 10 successive studies of the evolving rate of thyroid damage to children in the Fukushima area. And the rate is continuing to increase. And the 10th study, which was recently released, I believe in February, has shown a 44% incidence of thyroid damage to children. This is a sampling of almost 100,000 children. It's a huge sample by epidemiological standards. And they're finding close to half now the children in the Fukushima area suffering thyroid damage. This is a catastrophe. You know, it is a health mm-hmm. disaster. Because when you damage the thyroid of a child, you completely compromise both the mental and the physical development of that child. And you know, the cancer rates and the handicap rates among these children is just going to be, you know, it's beyond tragic. And so anyone who's denying now that Fukushima has had a health impact is simply telling a big lie. And, you know, we're looking at a Holocaust here in Japan. I mean, there was one article that was published in the Huffington Post that had the temerity to say that the admittedly, you know, extraordinary rate of thyroid damage at Fukushima is probably not significant. This is the article, because there were three other areas in Japan where it was higher, that were further away from the plant. I mean, anybody who knows anything about nuclear power and nuclear fallout knows that Japan was blanketed with radiation, and who knows where it came down. It's quite common for larger quantities of radiation to come down further away from a plant than directly on top of it. And we know that the radiation releases into the Pacific Ocean have been catastrophic, and we know that radiation, airborne radiation from Fukushima, reached California in less than a week. And now we see these rates of thyroid damage. I got to tell you about the Free Press. My article at the Free Press, and thank you for publishing it, was the first one in the entire United States to make an issue of this. This should have been front page news all over the corporate media, all over the major media. The fact that a 44% thyroid damage rate has surfaced among children around Fukushima, this is, you know, proof of an apocalypse, proof of a Holocaust. And the Free Press is the first outlet on the Internet to feature that reality, and it still hasn't been picked up. You know, it should be on all the major media. That this is happening, and, you know, there it hasn't been. So we have to be very careful about this nuclear age. And we know, as I said, that the solartopian technologies are really cutting very deep in the fossil fuels. I mean, there's not much doubt anymore. You read Bloomberg, you read Forbes. A lot of the financial journals in this country have become extremely bullish on renewables and are really, you know, attacking fossil fuels and even nuclear. Bloomberg especially has been very, very aggressive. Forbes also about, you know, pushing renewables. And it does take away, you know, an impetus towards war. But this reality with nuclear and with Fukushima is absolutely terrifying. I just read today, if you want to think about negative synergy, First Energy, which runs, powers most of northern Ohio, owns two nuclear plants up there. They also own the Beaver Valley reactor outside of Pittsburgh. First Energy is now proposing to do fracking within 1 mile of the Beaver Valley nuclear plant. Now, everybody, you know, these people are crazy.
Well, they built one on a fault line. Why not create an earthquake, which was caused in Youngstown by fracking? I mean, why not go for the earthquake?
Well, I guess the theory is if you can't find an earthquake fault to build a nuclear plant on, create one.
Create one.
Make one of your own, you know, because we know that there's absolutely no doubt that fracking has been related to earthquakes.
Established in the Youngstown area when they, had that 0.5 earthquake from the injection well.
Beaver Valley is close to Youngstown. Now, the Beaver Valley nuclear plant is between Youngstown and, well, it's in the vicinity of Youngstown and Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So, and here they want to frack within a mile, for God's sakes. I mean, why don't they just bomb the place? It's insane. So we do have corporations that are still completely out of control, that have no accountability whatsoever to the public, that will take us into the next war if they want to. But, you know, everybody's saying, oh, look at the Iranians. What if they get a nuclear weapon? I mean, the fact is that we have pre-deployed 104 nuclear weapons right here in the United States. You know, any nuclear power plant of the 104 that are licensed could be attacked with conventional weapons, God forbid, and be even worse than any kind of nuclear bomb.
No, absolutely. And when you were talking about the high rates of thyroid damage, it reminds me of the phrase Chernobyl necklace. Many people in Russia and, you know, throughout that region who had to have their thyroids removed and carry that scar because of Chernobyl. Do you have any idea how bad Fukushima is in relationship to Chernobyl? Is it worse? Are they comparable?
Oh, yeah, it's worse. It's definitely worse. It's probably at least three or four times as bad as Chernobyl because you've had at least three explosions at Fukushima. You know, when I first started doing this back in the 70s, the nuclear industry was vehement. They would scream and yell. Anybody said that a nuclear reactor, a commercial reactor, could explode, the industry said, oh, no, it's technically impossible. It could never happen. And then, of course, Chernobyl did explode. And the thing is, we don't know at Chernobyl whether or not there was an actual fission explosion. We know there was a conventional explosion probably involving hydrogen. We don't know if there was the equivalent of a nuclear bomb there, but something huge happened, and, of course, incalculable amounts of radiation released. And then at Fukushima, we know that we've had three hydrogen explosions. There, if you look at the videos, and they were videoed, and, you know, they were seen, if one of the explosions at Fukushima looks very much like it could have been a nuclear explosion. There's a mushroom cloud, and it looks very much like it could have been another Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But the reality is, that kind of explosion, the reality is that conservative estimates now say that at least 30 times as much radiation was released at Fukushima as was released at Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined. And one of the reasons is that the bombs that destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki exploded in the air. So, if they had hit the ground, the particulate matter would have been hugely multiplied. But the explosions at Fukushima were on the ground, for God's sakes, and they involved massive quantities of fissionable materials that were pitched into the atmosphere. We have absolutely no way of calculating how much was pitched into the atmosphere, and it is still being emitted 2 years later at Fukushima. They're talking now that maybe in 30 or 40 years, they might be able to clean the place up. Nobody can even define what cleaning the place up means. And, you know, it's
hang on, Harvey. We got to wrap up, and we'll return to you.
Heard exclusively okay. On the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.
Fight back, 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 back. Fight back, back, back.
Stand up. Don't give up the fight.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Saving energy saves you money. Whether you switch to Energy Star light bulbs, install Energy Star appliances, or add extra insulation. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Dr. Bob Fitrakis, and you're listening to Fight Back. Harvey Wasserman is on the line, senior editor and investigative reporter for thefreepress.org, the Columbus Free Press. Again, feel free to call us if you have a question for Harvey, the number 1-877-932-9766. We got about 5 minutes here. Harvey, 10th anniversary of Iraq, the events in Fukushima. What should activists do? What do you see on this anniversary of Fukushima and the first day of spring, when we're having the strange cold, global warming weather chaos, climate chaos weather?
Yeah, it's climate chaos is what it is, or global weirding, as Amory Lovins once called it. What we got to do is shut all the nuclear plants and make sure the next war doesn't happen. Those are the two primary agenda items if we're going to continue to live on this planet. We cannot allow these insane wars of choice and indulgence to continue. They are wrecking our economy, wrecking our planet, and making mincemeat of any future that people might have in this country or elsewhere around the world. And simultaneously, all the nuclear power plants have to be shut as soon as possible. We have some good news. There have been 104 licensed reactors in the United States for some time, and at least two will definitely shut this year, one at Kewaunee, Wisconsin, and one at Crystal River, Florida. We're trying to keep two shut at San Onofre, California, and there are others on the brink, including the Davis-Vesey and Perry reactors here in Ohio. But nuclear power is definitely the most destructive, expensive, and useless, worthless technology that's been deployed on this planet alongside war itself. Nuclear power is really the ultimate war on the environment. And the good news is that we have solartopian technologies, wind, solar, tidal, geothermal, ocean thermal, biofuels, These are all technologies that work in concert with humanity and with the and with the planet. They can, of course, be abused, but by and large, they are definitely friendly. We've seen Germany now making the transition to solartopian technologies. We also see, I think, the gradual, hopefully accelerating, end to the drug war prohibition on marijuana, and that will bring with it the legalization of hemp. We actually have Mitch McConnell, of all people, working in Kentucky for the legalization of industrial hemp. So it's and that's going to be a big deal, both in terms of food and in energy and many others. So there is progress to be made, but the number one and number two items on the agenda for survival is to prevent the next war from happening and to get rid of all nuclear reactors.
And that next war, are we thinking about Iran? Is that still the most likely place?
Well, it may, maybe Iran or maybe Korea now, you know, now that Dennis Rodman's been there. who knows what will happen. But I'm sure they'll come up with some kind of crisis to sell more weapons and more destruction, and that's what we have to be ready to do.
I don't know if you saw this, but it was front page, even in the Dispatch. President Karzai accused the U.S. of meeting with the Taliban and essentially stirring up problems with the Taliban in order to keep U.S. troops there, to keep a cozy relationship. I thought it was one of the bizarrest stories I've seen, but plausible. Essentially, he says that the Taliban and the United States government in Afghanistan have a similar interest in continuing the war.
Yes. Well, of course, we created the Taliban in the first place to fight the Soviets. And, you know, of course, the blowback was Al-Qaeda and all those guys took down the World Trade Center. And now who knows what's going to happen. And one thing about our species, it never ceases to amaze how complicated we are. Who would have guessed even a week ago that Rob Portman would now become a primary advocate of gay marriage? I mean, you know, life is full of surprises. So Mr. Karzai could turn out to be a peace candidate after all. Who knows?
All right. Harvey Wasserman of the FreePress.org. And reflecting back on your writings from that period, you and I wrote some essays together. We each wrote separate essays. How do you see that body of work? I mean, when we were out there, virtually nobody in the media was opposing that war at the time, at least not in the United States.
Well, you know, you and I are old enough to have lived through the Vietnam War. And we've seen ridiculous wars waged by this country ever since. I mean, as Ben Franklin put it, you know, there's no such thing as a good war. There's no such thing as a bad peace. And we have seen some really bad wars. What has taken what was an extremely prosperous country in the 1960s with tremendous hope and unlimited horizons has turned into, you know, an Orwellian nightmare because of these worthless, useless wars. You and I wrote about that advocating George W. Bush go to prison, and the case against him is stronger than ever, you know. So I think we were right about that, and it's important to right now make it clear that no war that this country can get into at this point in time would be worth the fight. It would just be more concentration of wealth in the hands of the 400 families that own and operate this country. And you and I have also done the writing, you know, about the theft of the 2004 election and how broken our electoral system really is.
Absolutely.
I mean, to talk about the United States, to describe it as a democracy now is, you know, it's a leap of fictional faith as far as you know, we can see. And so these are things that, you know, are classic end of empire situations.
All right, let's wrap up on that note. I've got another caller, but I always appreciate your time, Harvey Wasserman. Check him out at thefreepress.org. Thanks, Harvey.
All right, Bob, thanks so much. Yep, keep the faith, and no nukes.
All right, no nukes. The Free Press is showing a movie on Tuesday, March 26th at 7:30 p.m. The movie Long Distance: Revolutionary, a Journey with Momia Abu-Jamal. And again, this is Tuesday, March 26th, 7:30 p.m., followed by a discussion at the Arena Grand Theater, 175 West Nationwide Boulevard. I've got Lawrence and Sherry Hamilton of Black Central who are sponsoring the documentary with the Free Press on the phone, and also people I worked with during the election at Driving Park on Election Day. They were the ones that witnessed black voters being denied the right to cast a vote and being forced to vote a back-of-the-bus ballot, a provisional ballot, where 14% of those weren't counted. Welcome, Lawrence and Sherry.
All right. How you doing, Dr. Petrenkis?
Good evening.
I'm doing well. And why are you bringing the community in Central Ohio, the long-distance revolutionary? Why should listeners be interested in coming to the Arena Grand on March 26th and taking a look at this journey with Mamiya Abu-Jamal?
Well, you know, Dr. Petrenkis, there's been a number of organizations in Columbus who have been bringing independent films mm-hmm. to the community, yourself included, the Free Press. And we decided to reach out to the makers of Long Distance Revolutionary to see if we could bring the film here for a free screening to just shed light on the life of Mamiya Abu-Jamal. There are some people who are aware of this individual who has been in prison for over 30 years now. And this is just an opportunity to just share with the community and perhaps spark action toward helping the freedom of Mamiya Abu-Jamal.
And also, we feel that Mamiya is a representation of so many wrongfully incarcerated individuals. And mm-hmm. now I want to speak ahead and say he's necessarily wrongfully incarcerated, but from the standpoint that he did not have a fair trial. He doesn't really talk about the events of that night. Him being outspoken is more about things going on around the world. But we do know, without a doubt, that he was not given a fair trial, yet was convicted to life in prison.
So, you know, for people who are not aware of Mamiya Abu-Jamal, he started out in his early young adult life as a journalist. Prior to that, at the age of 15 or 14, he became an active member of the Black Panther Party located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And due to that activity, he was at an early age, you know, followed, you know, during the COINTELPRO and all that type of stuff.
And our listeners really need to be reminded of COINTELPRO, which was counterintelligence program run by the FBI from 1956 to 74, which was part of a much bigger program internationally, MH Chaos, with the National Security Agency and the CIA, which led to the assassinations of third world leaders like Patrice Lumumba. And at one point, the killing of 30 Black Panthers in 3 months. People were literally targeted and
right.
killed, harassed, their lives destroyed by COINTELPRO.
Right, right. And one of those Panthers was Fred Hampton mm-hmm. In Chicago. And Mamiya was very close to the Chicago organization and was actually at the, I believe, the funeral of mm-hmm. Fred Hampton. But Mamiya was targeted at an early age. And back in 1981, there was a situation where a police officer was shot, and Mamiya was at the scene of the crime in which he witnessed his own brother being beaten down by a police officer. So mm-hmm. Many have said that was an opportunity for city officials to take advantage of that incident and prosecute Mamiya for murder, which they successfully did, and he's been incarcerated since officially 1982, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we're looking at this, did Mamiya have any relationship at all? Did he report on, for example, the people in MOVE who were in Philadelphia at the time?
Right, right, right. Back in, a lot of people are not aware that MOVE was an organization back in the late 70s in Philadelphia, and they were
under attack from the city of Philadelphia. Basically, the mayor, Frank Rizzo,
former really police did. Commissioner and known racist.
Right. They didn't like the MOVE organization just basically because they couldn't control them. They took a neighborhood where they all lived and basically said, we're going to do our own thing. They were not disobeying the law, but they were basically doing what they wanted to do, growing their own food and kind of a self-contained unit. And the city didn't like the fact that they couldn't control that.
Right.
And so there was a time where they attacked the neighborhood, and the people fought back, and many of them were killed.
And that was in the late 70s. And Monica was a person that shed light on the whole MOVE organization and presented a different perspective from the traditional mainstream media outlet. And some people did not like that different perspective. It's basically portraying the MOVE organization as humans.
Right.
And as a result, he became, a target for that also.
Yeah, as I recall, I mean, the Philadelphia police used C4 and gasoline and burnt down like 12 city blocks. And it's something we would now call an intentional community. And when I was looking at your website, Black Central, a lot of stuff that MOVE advocated, like growing their own food, being self-sufficient, self-contained,
right.
A lot of that stuff's on your website.
Well, we just launched our website in July of 2012. And, one of the main things we want to focus on is in inspiring and empowering and putting out information that's going to help educate and promote critical thinking. For the masses, in particular the African and African American communities. You're right. You saw some articles that dealt with urban gardening. You'll see articles that deal with education and redirecting monies toward Black owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what our website is, focused on, basically in empowering the community and promoting critical thinking, sharing information that's often not shared in those mainstream media outlets. Kind of like Free Press.
The Free Press, Black Central and the freepress.org, the other side of the news, right,
and yeah.
An alternative view there. And I know you witnessed things on election day. You were out there working for as election observers at Driving Park. You want to tell the listeners what you saw?
Yes, it was a very interesting. It really started early on. It was very quiet there, and we thought, wow, it's going to be a long day. There's not much here. Other than it being crowded, we really weren't seeing anything wrong going on. As the morning went on, we did notice that the provisional ballot line was longer than the regular line, even though, there were, I think, five or six lines going. Everybody started to get sent over to the provisional ballot line, and we thought, wait a minute, what's going on? So we started to ask people as they left, so that we wouldn't intrude on the voting process, and ask them why they were being asked to go over there. And they were being asked to go over for reasons that they should not have been, and especially some of them who were at the wrong polling place were being told to vote there. That was an issue because their ballots would be thrown out, and they were not being told that.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to come back and talk about the Mamiya movie with Lawrence and Sherry Hamilton of Black Central. TalkTainmentRadio.com, that's our address worldwide and locally. We're here 24/7 around the world. Radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're going to talk with Lawrence and Sherry of Black Central coming up next. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com.
With Dr. Bob Fitrakis, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Fight back, back, back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is now more listener-friendly. We've categorized the programs that air on Talktainment Radio.
Thursday, techno, money, law, and fun.
Dave Sherman Show.
Three voices. Information Highway.
Money. Food. Rap.
Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and click on programs for times and podcasts. Click Listen Live for current programs being aired. We are the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard.
The women we love, the women who love us, they are dying. Heart disease is our number one killer, taking more lives than all forms of cancer combined. But we have the power to save those lives, our lives, because the greatest force for women is women. It's time to stand together, to fight harder, to shout louder. It's time to go red for women.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. Food for thought.
It's important to cultivate and nurture relationships, all relationships, whether they are casual, familial, work-related, or romantic. I am reminded of the quote, "Man cannot live by bread alone." We need companionship, someone with whom to share our hopes, our dreams, and our talents. People come into our lives by choice and by chance. They come to support us, to love us, to encourage us, and in doing so, sometimes they make our lives a little crazy. They get us to question the way we see the world and affirm that what we see is just fine. So let us value the friendships and relationships that we have with others and let them know how important they are to us. For man cannot live by bread alone. We need others with whom to share that bread.
That's another Food for Thought. To hear additional Food for Thought, stay tuned to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Dr. Bob Fitrakis. You're listening to Fight Back. Feel free to join in the conversation by calling 1-877-932-9766. That's the phone number, 877-932-9766. I'm talking with Lawrence and Sherry Hamilton of Black Central. And Lawrence and Sherry, the movie, the documentary you're sponsoring, looks quite astounding. From the standpoint of who's in it, you've got a good friend of mine, Cornel West, Alice Walker, Angela Davis, Ruby D, Ruben Hurricane Carter, Amy Goodman, Dick Gregory, Peter Coyote, and Giancarlo Esposito.
And not to mention, don't forget to mention Dr. Michelle Alexander, who is a
local
at the Ohio State University, who's recently come out with a book entitled The New Jim Crow, which focuses on the prison industrial complex. She, too, is also in the film. It's a large cast of people and coming from different backgrounds, diverse perspectives, but they're all focused on the life and the struggle of Mumia Abdul-Jamal. One thing we wanted to mention real quick, this free screening is also sponsored by the Columbus Film Council with Bounce TV, Bounce 23 TV. So we wanted to make sure we acknowledge that.
All right. And again, Bounce 23 is independent black perspective TV. Really, we've got to encourage people to watch Bounce TV. Very, very important. I also see Ramona Africa, who I believe is the only person who survived the bombing at the MOVE house in Philadelphia, is in the movie, as is Michael Parente, and, of course, M1 from Dead Prez.
Right, right, yeah. And the film is very captivating. It's 120 minutes, a two-hour film, and we encourage everybody to come out once again to the Arena Grand. The film is going to be from 7:30 until 9:30, limited seating, so we are encouraging people to arrive a little early. And for more information, you can go to goblackcentral.com. Once again, that's goblackcentral.com.
And again, a lot of this deals with the question of the prison industrial complex. There'll be a conference at Columbus State Community College April 19th through the 21st, re-examining Lucasville Conference, the longest prison uprising in American history. That's at reexamininglucasville.org. Go there and register. Registration is free. From your perspective at Black Central, why is something like Bounce TV important?
Bounce TV is important, again, like you said, because they're independent. You know, at this point, they're not corporate control. They're making their own decisions. And this is how you know the mainstream views them as a threat. They are carried by Time Warner in some markets, but here in Central Ohio, Time Warner has refused to even meet with them, let alone agree to carry them. So that kind of lets you know they must be doing something right. But it is important to support Bounce TV. It was launched by Andrew Young and also Martin Luther King III, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s son. They launched it, and it is nationwide. But like I said, here in Central Ohio, people who have Time Warner cannot see it through cable. They have to see it over the air. So that's a battle that they're continuing to fight. Time Warner, of course, has given no reason as to why they won't carry Bounce. And so that's something that's we feel is very important.
And overall, there's just a great need for an independent perspective. If you take, for instance, I know you guys were talking about Hugo Chavez earlier, and if you look at the media coverage of Hugo Chavez, you would think that, you know, he was somebody who was hated and despised by most of the people in Venezuela. But when, in fact, when you look a little bit deeper and you do some research, you will find that at his funeral, there were over 9 million, an estimated 9 million people in attendance, okay, which was so-called a world record for a person to have that many people actually come to see, you know, a deceased individual. So independent media is very important. WVKO is also a local-based radio station that's independently controlled. So it's important for the Columbus community and communities throughout the nation to have these voices.
And as is TalkTainmentRadio.com, which works in conjunction with WCRS. 98.3
right.
And 102.1. There's these outlets, these small outlets, and of course your website, which you've now launched, Black Central. What can you tell the listeners? Why should they come to your website? What do you got there for them?
We have a little bit of everything. We really just try to put out information that we see that's going to be helpful, or things that we think people should know about, again, that they won't see in the mainstream. And so we really want to focus on inspiring, engaging, empowering people in the community, and also creating a platform for people to galvanize around different efforts. And that's why, you know, we reached out to the Free Press, we reached out to other organizations, because we're not trying to make it just about Black Central. We're just not trying to make Black Central bigger and better for the sake of being bigger and better. Our hope is that we can galvanize so many of the great efforts that are out there to get information to the people. People have power, and unfortunately, most people don't realize that. People feel powerless, but we feel that it's important to empower people and let them know you do have power, and certainly together, collectively, we have an incredible amount of power, which is why the efforts to suppress that power are so strong. So we encourage people to come to Black Central to get information about health and wellness, to get information about economic empowerment, how you can support small and Black-owned businesses, different events that might be going on around different cities. We have a lot of people send us events and say, please get this information out.
And also shedding light on things that are happening internationally, especially in Africa and also throughout the Caribbean. We have a contributor in South Africa. We have a contributor from Nigeria. So using our social media platform, we're connected to Facebook and Twitter. And with that, we have connected to people throughout the world. And so we have a large following in Brazil, believe it or not.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's a way to just connect and share information, because knowledge is power.
All right, and one of the articles I saw on your site, SOS Juice, Power the People, it's a hybrid solar power for profit hybrid that also sells juice. Is that the energy, or is it juice, like as in fruit juice, vegetable juice?
Well, you know, there's a gentleman out of Oakland, California, who started SOS, and basically, you know, with SOS, he's trying to employ youth in the community to grow food, vegetables, and then they take that food and they juice the food and sell it in the community. And it's a way to kind of offset the Nutricide that is taking place within the Black community. There's a lot of products, you know, that are detrimental to the health. As you know, diabetes, cancer, and heart disease are very high within the African-American community. And so this gentleman out of Oakland, you know, has decided to focus head on and take the issues head on and, you know, try to help resolve these problems facing our community. And so it's stories like this that we are trying to share, more solution-based stories as opposed to focusing just on problems.
And again, you've got a great story from a good friend of mine who I went to Libya with, Glenn Ford of Black Agenda Reports, really about the stationing of U.S. drones in Africa, in Mali, in Niger, and Libya. And really, they're there to assassinate. They're there to kill people without trial.
And
they're there to control. More than anything, they're there to control resources.
Absolutely, which is when we met with Gaddafi, that's what he said repeatedly is Africa's a rich continent. It's got gold.
Right.
It's got oil. It's got diamonds. If it had a currency, it would be worth something. But unfortunately, most of the resources are owned by Western multinational corporations. So his last great battle was to create a gold dinar, to create an African currency, and to create a United States of Africa.
Yes. And you know, a lot of people, I was very saddened when he was killed. It really made me sad, and, you know, people around me couldn't understand, and I had to explain, you know, because, again, we're brainwashed with mainstream media, and when we hear these buzzwords like tyrant, dictator, terrorist, you know, there are certain buzzwords that let make most people feel like, oh, yeah, that's a bad person. When I hear them, that kind of lets me know they probably were doing something right, and they're just being, you know, victimized in the media. But, you know, there are other leaders around the world. Again, you know, Hugo Chavez, Gaddafi.
Even if you go back to President Aristide in Haiti.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. The only Democratic president.
Exactly.
And his great sin was saying, you know, my people shouldn't be working for 40 cents an hour. You should double their pay. Pay them 80 cents an hour. And the U.S. backed a coup, brought people in from the Dominican Republic, and overthrew the only elected popular leader in the history of Haiti.
He was democratically elected.
The
not
only
once,
one.
Twice, but twice. And some of the individuals who helped with the overthrow were actually trained in Fort Benning, Georgia.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, if you also, you know, you start seeing similarities with a lot of different stories. The situation in Mali. The gentleman who is the president of Mali, he too was also trained here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start looking
at
connecting dots, digging deeper, and questioning. People have to question things, and that's what Black Central is about.
And you're starting off great with this documentary, The Long Distance Revolutionary Journey with Mumia Abu-Jamal, which is happening on Tuesday, March 26th at 7:30 p.m. And you're leading a discussion afterwards. But I think it's a great opportunity for the Central Ohio community to meet at the Arena Grand Theater, 175 West Nationwide Boulevard, and take a different look at an individual who's been vilified, much like Hugo Chavez. And do you know what you plan to do in that discussion afterwards?
Our hope really with bringing the film and getting people to come out is just to have people wake up. I don't know if you saw the movie The Matrix, but a lot of times I just feel like, you know, we're living in the matrix, and there are some of us that have been plugged in and you know, or unplugged, and we're awake and aware of what's going on around us. But there are so many people that just have no clue and just get up and take a shower and go to work every day. So our hope is to wake people up, not only to Mumia's situation and the situation with the prison industrial complex, mass incarceration, but just all of the things that Mumia speaks out against. He's not afraid to speak out against these things because he feels like, you know, they've already sentenced me to death. What do I have to lose? And so, you know, he brings up, there are many things that come up in the film that are thought-provoking, and we want people to be aware of. So we'll discuss a lot of those things.
And once again, Bob, for more information, people can go to goblackcentral.com. It'll give you all the information you need in terms of what to do and where to go for the film, which will be shown at the Arena Grand.
All right. Thanks a lot for being on Fight Back again, Tuesday, March 26th at 7:30 p.m. That was Lawrence and Sherry Hamilton. Thanks a lot again.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station. A service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Radio, the way it should be heard.